North Scott Press. So I'll put this recorder right up here.
Brett, what motivated you to do this, and why should you be on the board?
So my name is Brett Van Dievender, and I'm a former teacher. I taught for the last 7 years at the middle school in Bettendorf. I really am worried about a number of things in education, and I'd like to see those things addressed. I think North Scott has a great base and has made a lot of really good decisions, and I would like to continue that. As a teacher, some of those things that were motivating me were things like classroom behaviors, and I wanted to make sure that that was something that was prioritized, things like mental health and taking care of our teachers. I believe it's very important to have somebody who's been in the classroom as a board member, and I think it's something that brings it adds to the discussion. And I feel like I can be one who will represent things from a perspective that maybe doesn't get presented. Although teachers and people in education might present to the board, I feel like I've been on the ground, I've experienced these things, and that I can have a voice that maybe can't always be represented. Thank you.
Thanks, Brett. Joni?
Thank you. Joni Dittmer, and first of all, thank you all for being here tonight. It says a lot about you for coming and caring and having concerns about things. So I hope you do have a lot of good questions for us. Is that my minute? No. Okay, anyway, I do appreciate you very much so for coming, because, again, that's what this is all about. And that's probably one of the reasons I'm running. I've been on the board for 11 years, so I do have a lot of experience. But that being said, sometimes I feel like I just got on yesterday, because that's how you should look at it. It should be something that you take seriously every day and learn from all of you what's important in our district, because the school district is our community, and we have the most unique community with being rural and urban, and I'm just so proud of it, and I exude with it. You probably, those of you that know me know that, and I have so much passion for this, and one of my skill sets that I think is very important to be on the board is it doesn't matter what you can have all of these experiences and traits and so forth, but the biggest one I think is truly caring, that people know I'm approachable and they can come to you and they have concerns and that you will follow it through relentlessly to find out, because we're on the board to serve the community. We will find out what's important to you, and we're working together as an entire team for the betterment of the number one person, people, is our kiddos. That's the number one people. And so I appreciate being here and hopefully serving more years.
Thank you,
Joey. Thanks,
Mark. Hey. Hi, my name is Nick Hansel. Thanks for everybody that came out. I have 6 children, 2 that have graduated, 2 that are in high school, and 2 that are in the junior high. I really can't express enough how much I care about this community. When we moved out here 16 years ago, it's been great. And when it comes to this district, best way to serve it is getting in to the school board, and I did that from 2013 to 2017. It was some of the best times of my life. I think we got a lot done back then. But I'm running for the board again because I'm concerned about things at the high school, whether it's our homework and how that's graded or not graded towards our final grade. When my children went to college, and you look at the entrance exam, the entrance protocols and how you get scholarships, GPA really played into that. I hope to talk about that later tonight. The teacher's health insurance and how that can be invested in and be funded without the teachers taking cuts to their benefits. Being an insurance broker with Arthur J. Gallagher, I believe I can bring some of those discussion points to light in a new way. And then also when you think about Ed White and the behavioral disorder program that went through last year and the unfortunate incident at the junior high, I feel like there's some things that I can at least add to the discussion. Scott McKissick, who is at the Hampton School District, I found out for $15 an hour can hire a resource officer, and they hired him from the retirement group of police officers. And I was like, wow, I wouldn't have known that it was that inexpensive to bring a resource officer to your school district. And so there's a lot of things like that I hope to be able to discuss tonight and later on.
My name is Glenn Kepi, and I was appointed to the board, I think, 6 years ago, and have enjoyed serving on since then. I want to thank everybody for coming, and especially my wife, Jean. We met here at North Scott and I have been a lifelong citizen of Eldridge and just outside of Eldridge in the rural area. In fact, speaking of that, I'd rather be home combining than facing the questions that might be coming up. No, that's not true. I have enjoyed learning about the school board and working with the school board. We have a tremendous group of individuals, the members that are up here and the members in the audience, and look forward to a very strong future. We have six kids that are in the North Scott, grandkids that are in the North Scott district. One in the junior high, and then second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth in John Glenn. So thank you for coming.
Thanks, Glenn. John?
Hi, I'm John Maxwell. I have served on the school board 8 years. I have two daughters that graduated, three daughters that graduated from North Scott, and one grandchild that goes to John Glenn. My wife is here as well. The reason I'm running is because I've learned a lot. I'm really fueled by having students learn, having students grow, and I want to continue that. I see a board member as someone who has financial responsibility or keeps basically the school district running correctly, and also I see it as getting the students' career and college ready. Now, there's a lot of things that surround that, such as safety and student-built homes and all the things that the board would have action with. But that's the general guidelines that we do. So I've learned a lot, I've done a lot, and I think there's a lot more to do. So to answer Mark's question, that is why I'm running again, because I think there's a lot more that can be accomplished and that I want to do. And I also want to thank all of you for coming. This shows the great North Scott pride that we have, and thank you all.
Thank you. And Molly?
Good evening. I'm Molly Birkfeld. My husband, Corey, is here of 22 years. Thanks for coming and supporting. He's usually at meetings himself. We do have a daughter who's a freshman in high school here at North Scott and a fifth grade son. Between the two of them, we've been in four different schools. My son was in pre-K and Grissom, so we have Grissom, Armstrong, junior high, and now the high school covered. So my professional background, I worked at John Deere for 22 years, all in information technology. So I've done a lot of, whether it's software implementations, continuous improvement, quality initiatives. I've worked with teams from around the world and led people, had global teams focused on their personal development as well. So developing people is a passion of mine and getting them to their fullest potential. I grew up in a town similar or a community similar to North Scott, Western Dubuque. Lots of rural, communities, about the same size. And definitely the same community spirit that I have. So I feel like this is my second home. I see some other Bobcat alumni out in the audience. I believe I'm a fiscally responsible person. So when I make financial decisions, I've been on the board for the last 4 years, forgot to mention that. When I make decisions, whether it's in my personal finance at work or on the board, I look at what is best for short-term and long-term. You make a cheap decision in the short-term, it may be more expensive in the long-term. So I think it's very important to look at the aspects of what your decision is, what the impact is, and how that will impact ultimately the education that we give our kiddos. I am passionate about volunteering. I believe that you should volunteer in the community that you live and work and get involved and offer your time, talent, and skills. So although the current board members, everybody sitting up here, have different backgrounds, skills, and experience, we all contribute something different. And I'm willing to do that for another 4 years.
Thanks, Molly. For our next question, we'll start with Jody, and I'm going to try to start it with a different person on down the line so you can kind of expect where it is. What I'd like you to do is talk about the opportunities and the limits of board leadership. How deeply should board members delve into classroom functions like grading and discipline? Where is board leadership best focused?
Okay, Mark. That could be a very long answer, but basically we as a board, we really oversee a lot of policy. So we really have a lot of faith in our superintendent and our administrators, our teachers, all of the folks that work within the school district, And what I feel that's very, very important, and we're really utilizing it today, is committee work. So we have a lot of committees for a lot of things today. So that allows us to draw upon many ideas and provide us with many recommendations that we really need, because the school district is not just the board, it is not just administrators, it is all of you, it's a community too. So in those committee meetings are also community people and folks that have interest and have expertise or that care. So we are just kind of the conduit. We help with the leadership of this. We oversee things. It can be very serious kind of things, which it's all very serious, but it can also be something that we need to ensure that we're financially responsible and help educate the community to that. So fiscal responsibility is huge, but oversight and planning of from facilities to curriculum. So we want to ensure that our students are getting very robust and rigorous curriculum. Number one, proficiency, like academic proficiencies. To
Thank you. Just about a minute. Nick, what are the opportunities and limits of board leadership? How deeply should board members delve into classroom functions, and where is board leadership best focused?
Well, the best way I can talk about that is on some of the experiences, and I've had good experiences of going too far and not going far enough. Like, for example, when my daughter was in the junior high, I found out we had two study halls and we needed more teachers. Well, right away, that's something to take action on. And we did. We added FFA to the junior high, Spanish to the junior high. I worked with T.R. Wood and John Holly. So that would be an example of when to jump in and do. Then there's the idea of, well, I don't get along with this teacher, and that might not be for boards to get involved in. But there was one story in particular where a parent called me on one night and said, Nick, and they're a minority student, and they said, Nick, we had a racial situation where there was racial tension in the classroom. I don't know how to do it. Well, and normally you'd say, well, go to the teacher and work that out, or go to the principal and work that out. But that was a case where I was like, no. I can understand in this person's voice that this is one time that I need to get involved. And so we did. We worked with the teacher, we worked with the principal about the racial tension that was created in that classroom. And it's a very delicate thing, you should know, on when to act and when not to act on the school level. Because you do not want to be a micromanager. You want to be a person who empowers, but you also have to have a good sense of when is it time to say time out. And we need a rally around this one particular point. It's not easy to do, but experience would have shown me in the past that I've done that and I can do that again.
Len, what are the opportunities and limits of school board service? What should you really get involved in, and what are some things you perhaps stay away from?
I guess you got to know your own strength, and I, of course, like coming from the agriculture world, I like to see things that are helping kiddos learn what agriculture is about, and that there's an opportunity and room for all of them to get into agriculture. As far as teachers go, we have a tremendous set of teachers. They really know the community well. A lot of them have been around for a long time, but then I'm also very surprised the number of new teachers that are here, and we welcome them with open arms and hope that we can make a long future for them by the fact that they enjoy being here and teaching the kiddos. There's been so many changes since our children were in this school, and of course from when I was in it. But I think that the buildings that we have are working out very good right now, and kids seem that I visit with at football games and other outings seem to be pleased the way things are going.
John?
I think that's a very slippery slope if you get into the classroom situation or things like that. I want to go back to when I first was on the board. I had a parent call me and I got involved in the situation. And it really becomes very awkward. And I have since learned that when I get a call, which I want calls, and I want situations because I'm the liaison between the public and the school system, but I've learned that I go to Joe the superintendent or call the principal or the teacher, and I promise them two things. One, someone will do something about it. They will get back to you, and they will get this situation worked on and resolved. And number two, if you do not hear from anybody, call me back, and I will work harder. So I think you need to be careful, but the most part, we are a policy situation, and I think we have a strategic plan in place that we utilize, and we also get together with the superintendent and the administration, and we have lots of different summer meetings and meetings through the year where we talk about what is our guidance and how do we do that. And to actually go to the teacher, I think, is a real risky situation, and I think you need to let the teachers teach.
Very good, thank you, Chuck. Molly?
Just as others have mentioned, board responsibility is set policy. We're responsible for the budget and hire and evaluate superintendent. Technically, we do have to approve all teacher contracts, but that's in a consent agenda, and we don't have any say in that unless we're on an interview panel board. I was on the interview for the Armstrong principal, technology director, because that's my background, or I had a vested interest. Other than that, the depth in the classroom, I am not a teacher. I am not the expert. I trust their expertise. My role as a board member is to provide the plan, the guidance, the resources, and the advocacy, whether it's at the local or state level, whatever it is, so that they can do their jobs and educate our kids. When we have folks that call us, I guide them just as if I would the folks that work on my team or my children. Have you talked to the person that you have an issue with? Have you gone, if you didn't get resolution, have you then gone to the next person? It's important to give that feedback, but also help coach them on what the conversation should look like. If you know that person, if you know who they're talking to, give them coaching and feedback about how to approach that person, because we all like to be approached in different ways, right? So in terms of, as a parent, it's hard, and especially in a small district, not to want to get involved and advocate for your children. But I try sometimes, and I think sometimes my children might suffer because I do take a step back and not purposely get involved because I want those that need to take care of it, take care of it. I'll give you two examples, though, that I did as a parent saw something for our community.
Molly, can you save those examples for a different time?
Sure.
I want to get on to some other questions. Across everybody. For our third questions, we'll start with
Brett. Brett needs a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come back to Brett. Thank you.
No problem. I'll try to make it brief. So I don't have any experience as a school board member, but what I'm learning, it mimics a lot of what they're saying. An important piece of this, the school board is an accountability structure. We're holding people accountable for what's going on within the district, whether that's scores, whether that's the superintendent, whether that's what's happening at a more blanket level for the district. I think when it comes to people communicating with you, you have to understand, and this is something I'm learning, as to what the school board powers are. There's power structures, and part of this is educating the public so that they understand exactly who they can go to. And you want to make sure you're not micromanaging, that you're not stepping in and taking over the responsibility of a building principal, or that you're getting involved in something that you shouldn't be involved in. And I think being the voice for the district can be different for them from that. You can still represent, you can still be this persona of the district that is representative and is explaining things and is educating the public while not stepping on anybody's toes. And I think from a blanket level, we have to be really careful when it comes to what we're doing, that we're not incidentally doing something we didn't mean to. So from my perspective as a teacher, something like training. We want to make sure that what we're implementing actually has value and it doesn't turn into the type of training that is just a checkbox that ends up being something that may politically sound good but doesn't actually help effectively train the people, our teachers or our paras or whoever, that need to be helped.
Thanks, Brett. We'll start our next question here with Nick. And this is a question we've talked about, we also got from the audience today. The district and this board and previous boards have invested quite a bit of taxpayer money to maintain and improve elementary schools in Princeton, Long Grove, Donahue, Parkview, and Eldridge. Enrollment differences at those schools make the classroom experiences very different. I mean, we have students at Glenn, third graders in a class of 15. Third graders over in White are in class of 23, 22. We have 27 in an Armstrong fifth grade class, and again, 17 over at Grissom. Very different classroom experiences. The question here is, discuss your thoughts on maintaining those full section K through 6 schools in those towns and the impact on students.
Maintaining those schools?
Yeah, maintaining, okay. Improving, or changing in any way. What are your thoughts on having all those schools?
Sure. I think back 2013, there were some grumblings that that John Glenn was so small that it needed to be closed. I'm not sure where that came from, but I do remember Glenn and others went to Donahue after a school board election and said, guys, that's never the case. We're not closing any buildings. We're not doing that. I don't know if you remember that, but that was a healing time because it kind of calmed everybody down. And so as far as building changes, I'm not so certain. You're not going to see that. What I really like about North Scott is that the standard is the standard. So what we're teaching in Princeton, we're teaching in Donahue. And the students are learning that same standard no matter what building they're in. And if a parent is so inclined and they want their child to go to a different building, by all means, I'd meet with Joe, or I'm sure that I remember seeing that it would be granted. So if you feel like, hey, it's too big at Ed White and you want to go to John Glenn, go ahead. We're not going to stop you. And that's what actually makes us good. It really makes us unique. So if we're trying to attract new students to our district, well, you could be in a rural area, or you could pick a little bit more urban area. And so it's a positive. The one thing I was going to tell real quick, if I have a second, would be I remember one time out in Princeton, we had like a half principal and a half reading specialist. And I think her name was Liz. And I remember how it wasn't the same as the other buildings. And I remember when that was corrected, how much value that brought to the building and how that term Princeton and the morale just increased. And that experience tells me on how you have to value all of the buildings equally. It's a big family. I'm from a big family. Some people might have to do a little bit, do with some and do without. That happens in a big family. But you know what? You're going to be treated fairly. I can guarantee you that.
Glenn, what are your thoughts on maintaining full section K through 6 schools throughout the district towns?
The first thing I'd like to say is I knew the board of directors that made the five schools out there. They had the right intention. And it was a great process that we have gone through. Times do change. Situations change, but one thing I know for sure is that all of the buildings that are out in rural Scott County for North Scott are going to continue to have some shape, form, some type of education from the North Scott District in them schools. Every business that there is has got to take a look at making changes and maybe doing something a little bit different than they have in the past. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, and I don't know if it should happen. But part of the board's responsibility is to take a look at it and make a decision one way or another. But I do want to make sure that I go on record that our forefathers that formed this school did an absolutely outstanding job of finding the communities where they have schools, and they have served a lot of kiddos. A lot of kids have gone through them schools to this day. Some people that 20 years ago went through it are talking about what an experience it was. So we need to continue that theme, and we need to continue to listen to what the parents are saying, do what we can. Thank you.
John, what are your thoughts on maintaining full section schools?
That's what makes us unique. You got a class of 15, or you got a class of 23. As Nick alluded to, you can go to the 15 if you wanted to go to Glenn or something like that. I am absolutely sure that every school is needed, every classroom is needed in the district, and I am for keeping every school and every classroom open. I have been for 8 years, and I will be for the rest of my life. The communities embrace them, the communities are formed around them, and that's what makes us all unique. We're a bunch of communities brought together to make one great North Scott, and so I am absolutely for it, and I agree with Glenn also that our forefathers were very forward-thinking, and having a school in Princeton, I think, is wonderful. And I think as times change, as Glenn alluded to, there could be 2-3 sections in Princeton, for all we know, because it look at what happened to LeClaire. It grew, and it grew in big ways, and it could happen to Princeton too. We don't know, but I'm absolutely for keeping all of them open.
Molly?
So yeah, in the forums that we've been at, Joe has mentioned, if you've read the paper, let's suppose that we definitely need all the space that we have. It just is a matter of, are the kids in the right buildings and spots. So we absolutely need them. It was clear to me when I first toured the district after getting on the board 4 years ago that each building is unique, the communities are unique, and the education is the same. And I know they've been working very hard on that. We also, when we go to school board conventions, we look at listen to other schools about how they arrange things. Anytime we have to, if we decide we need to make a change to even out the enrollment to have those classes, that has to be a discussion between community, parents, staff, and everybody who's impacted. I'm a huge advocate of communication, open communication, and transparent communication. What are all the ideas that we have? What are all the options? And what are the pros and cons? So do we talk about, if you think about a little bit, some of the things we've learned at convention were, some of the conventions other schools are doing are, you know, just K through 2 in one area, and then you have, you know, 3 through 6 in two of the other schools. So think about the difference in technology that's needed in a K through 2 school versus maybe a 3 through 6. What about the teacher collaboration? I don't know if those would work here. I don't know if that's an option. That is definitely something our staff would have to decide and help weigh in on. And as we're the, you know, keepers of the budget, or the supposed to be, you know, responsible for the budget, we would bring that aspect to it. So anything that we would need to change in that is really a communication and an open communication and forum with the public, and we would go after this with what is best for our students, what is best for the staff, and then, you know, look at other things. I personally, you know, grew up in Western Dubuque, which is still the largest district by area in the state, so I was on a bus, you know, for 20-30 minutes, but we had very efficient busing, and so, you know, that wasn't a bad thing either. So it's the community would have to decide.
Yeah, I don't see many advantages to that. From my perspective, in regard to class sizes, I think keeping it at its lowest should pretty much be a priority no matter what. And closing buildings, from the sounds of it, would have a negative. I don't see how that wouldn't have a negative impact. I obviously understand that busing, and you don't want kids to be on buses for 45 minutes or an hour. I see that as a disadvantage. But I also see classrooms with really, really large amount of kids as even worse. And so from my perspective, I don't see building closures as advantageous. I think the best classrooms are the ones with the smallest class sizes.
Thank you,
Mark.
Joni?
Well, a little bit of history, and I won't go into deep amount of it, but 8 years ago, when I decided to get on the board again, the reasoning was, I think a mayor showed up at my door and a few community people stating, from great city of Donahue, the discussion that there possibly might be some schools closing. And I immediately wanted to run again and get on the board. And the whole point of that is there was no reason, good reason, for closing any of our wonderful buildings. And thank heavens we didn't do that. Because all of the schools throughout our district make up North Scott community. And look at those. And what I am so proud of, and I see when we go out to the listening sessions, or it doesn't even have to be a listening session, you go to the communities and you hear in the city council meetings, or you hear the people in that community, what they're doing to help it work out, that their school is mitigating against and helping for any kind of class size, because those class sizes, be they large, be they smaller, and that's ideally, everybody would like them smaller. However, if they are larger, those teachers are very equipped and have the tools, and they're doing fabulous work in helping make that school or that classroom viable, successful, and each student. If you go visit these schools, you guys must. I mean, you go visit classrooms in all the schools, and you see those teachers so engaged, and all those students, they're doing different kinds of modality of learning than I've ever had. It would have been great for me, because I know I have ADD. So it's like, this would have been a great adventure for me to have teachers in classrooms like this. And the aides we have, the aides are phenomenal. They are helping immensely for those students to feel special and important. And we are all, to the administrators, to the teachers, to the aides, they're all, my heavens, you see the custodians walking through the buildings helping be that important person in that student's lives. So, of course, I'm not for closing any school, and we don't need to close any school. And I will continually be kind of the watchdog of that to help as much as possible, because I will. But we have great classrooms, great teachers, great aides, everybody helping it be a successful environment and a success for those students learning.
Thanks, Joni. For our next question, this is something we've heard from several people on about the YMCA, and Glenn will begin with you. So I'm going to combine some of these questions together. This board has seemed to indicate they're good for funding half of the construction costs, about $7 million, borrowed $7 million, paying back through sales tax on the YMCA, plus a new forever property tax levy, the Pearl Levy, forever. What are your thoughts on how you'd like to see this play develop? This is a question from the audience. How will you know it's successful? And what are your limits on taxpayer spending for it?
Okay. I have not been to a committee meeting. The board has appointed two members that have attended the committee meetings and bring the information back to us. So I'm getting my information from them and from what I read in the paper, which you also have the right. First of all, I think there's three fine organizations, the North Scott District, Eldridge, and YMCA, that are going to work together to try to come up with a image builder, I think, for the North Scott School District. I'm sure we probably have some swimmers. But I think the most important part is there's been a couple times that my wife and I have walked in a YMCA, and I'm to the age that that is important, and so that is important to me. Also, a couple of our grandkids have been on a court in the Bettendorf Y, I guess, for some soccer practice. And I, even though Eldridge has a good share of basketball courts, I think one more or two more will fit in very handily, and we'd be able to use it. So I think there's a lot of positives in having a facility like that in the Eldridge area or in the North Scott area. And we as a board want to make sure we give it a fair look, and we will go from there after we hear the comments, but it's moving along, and we'll soon know what it's going to look like.
Thank you, Glenn. John, what are your thoughts on the why? How will you know it's successful, and what are your limits on taxpayer spending?
My thoughts on the why stem from, as the strategic plan, we board members go to the communities, and we were in Long Grove, and a gentleman asks us the question. He says, hey, all my tax, I got a lot of taxpayer dollars, and I don't think I'm going to use the Y. And my answer back to him was that this next year, we're going to be down 30 to 40 students. And any way we can attract people to the North Scott District, we should do it. Not spend everything in the world, but to try to attract. And I think the YMCA is a good answer to attracting families to the district. And I am on board for the Y. Now, the real test comes with the Pearl. The Pearl actually is a voter levy that would levy against for the maintenance of the pool, so we don't lay off teachers just to keep a pool maintained. And that is the public's answer to, do we want this or do we not want this? So that will be a great litmus test for me, but I am for the YMCA pool and the YMCA fitness center and everything else that goes with it, because I think it will add great things to the community and attract folks into the community, because our pay, the pay comes from students in the district, and we need to attract students.
We obviously have to have a partnership. The school cannot, you know, go it alone. We're building a pool or anything. So we have the, you know, the other two that John had mentioned. We as a board have committed up to $7 million of spending for that. That also entails that it would have, the expectation would be that it has two pools. The benefits I've seen when I personally use the Y, I've used the West Y, the North Y, the Y in Moline as well, is some of the things are, you know, for individuals when you're working out, there's daycare provided. Not a lot of places have daycare for young families that whose parents want to work out and get away for a bit. It will attract families, I believe, as John mentioned. It's another icon in our district. You know, the two pools I mentioned, when we went to North, it was always a problem. It was closed, it was reserved for whatever, so two pools is absolutely a must in my book. And the last benefit, I think, is the physical therapy for young and old alike, and some adaptive therapy for special needs students. I saw Two Rivers, Genesis used it as their therapy for typically senior citizens crowd, although it could be for you know, athletes that get injured or whatever. So I think in any time you have three types of people, the ones that are saying, go for it, and you're like, wait a second, let's rationalize this a little bit. You have people that aren't sure, and that's where you have to talk about what these benefits are. And then you also have, you know, the people that are absolutely against it, and you have to try to talk about what are the benefits. Because you really, this is a community, this is a North Scott community icon and facility. It just happens to be in Eldridge, in the center of the center of the district. There's land there already, but it was the partnership. So it truly is, a community facility, and that's also what we're hearing in terms of positivity from the forums.
Thank you, Molly. Brett?
Yeah, so as all of them have mentioned, there's a ton of benefits for the Y, and I think those are pretty wide-reaching. There's a lot of community things that go on. I myself went to the summer programs when I was growing up. I've utilized the Y facilities. I use their daycare at the one in Bettendorf right now. And then the swimming pool obviously comes with a lot of benefits for the high school. I'm torn on this because it is a lot of money, and I don't have experience on the board, and I haven't seen the budget, and I don't know the constraints that go with it. To me, the YMCA brings an enormous amount of benefits, and in general, I'm in favor of it. I don't know all of the details for what priorities are given. Like she said, Davenport North, I think, gets pretty significant access to it when it needs it for the courts, the swimming pool, and everything else. I don't know what comes with it in that regard. I've looked at it a couple times and I've gone back and forth. I'm in favor of it. It's just a lot of money, and it's something that when I looked at Davenport North when they did the original one, they paid a very steep percentage on it, and I think some of the maintenance costs were covered on the other end of it, but it's a lot of money, but I am in favor. I think it comes with an enormous amount of benefits. It's a lot of money.
Thank you. Joanne?
This is something that I do feel is very important to do in our community, and there's a lot yet to be done in terms of education and communication and transparency for the community to understand it. I can understand all your concerns and your questions, because you're just kind of reading about it in snips and pieces, and there's a lot of planning that's going in on this. It's a conjoint effort, as we've talked about with the Y and with the city, and we need the partnership. But as Molly had alluded to, this is going to be a community Y center, and that's how we will market it. That's how we'll talk to it, and it will bring growth. I strongly believe that when it's done correctly, and it's going to be done correctly, it's going to be marketable to all of the towns in the community. I do feel that it will help to elicit growth, and that's one thing that's needed, but the other part, another very important part, is obviously what we've talked about, the lessons for the kiddos. Every kid deserves to know how to swim right here. The seniors, I know my mother-in-law, who's 91, God bless her soul, she cannot wait. She's got a group of 20 women, and they go to Bettendorf, and she cannot wait to go to the Y here. It's going to help with our swim team. We should have a swim team here, for heaven's sakes. And it's going to help, I feel, again, unify our district, bring each other together. There's a lot of programming that can be done with the school district, and a lot of collaboration to be done. So don't be fearful of this. We have a lot of planning to do. We have a lot of information to provide. We want to hear from the public. It's, again, a collaborative effort where we're just getting started, and we're going to have a group of all of you, many of you, helping in the thoughtful planning of this and what it means, because this is a North Scott community-wide, and that's the message to really get be very clear about for everybody in that district. Thanks.
So on the YMCA, just, you know, if elected, I got to come onto the board feeling like I have a lot of more questions than I have answers. I remember the first feasibility study failed, and they broadened the feasibility study that encompassed DeWitt, and then the feasibility passed. Now DeWitt's looking at their own YMCA. How does that impact the feasibility study overall? I also remember in 2016, Brackey, Hayes, Miller, and Mann Architects gave us plans for a pool. I'd like to call that back, because if I recall, that was about a $4.5 million estimate back in 2016. So why is there a difference between that and what we're hearing in the paper of a $7 million? And I think if we're really serious about this, that we're behind the curve in educating the community to overcome a 60% approval vote. I think more information needs to be out there, not listening committees, but what do we know and what are we going to do? Because like some of the people that have gone to North's YMCA, there are some times when I'm looking at that YMCA, I'm like, this will never fly in North Scott. Light bulbs are missing, the bathrooms were trashed, and I said it once to you, Mark, they would know they're dealing with a different partner than Davenport if they come out here, and that it's North Scott first, because as school board members, yeah, I want a pool, I want kids to learn how to swim, but for $7 million, I'm going to say there's a lot of other projects that we could get to. And guys, our other communities have YMCAs. When people are shopping schools, I'd rather put that money and fast-track the FFA program and getting that building built so we can say we have something nobody else does. But that's not one person's decision. But I would tell you that I'd be coming to that topic with more questions than answers, and I would want to be posting that on Facebook and pulling back the curtain so people know more than what we know right now. Because that vote, I understand, is going to be in March, and you're going to need 60% to pass that. Again, I think we're behind the curve in trying to win. If you're really serious about winning that, you need to get that information out. And so I have those questions that I'd be asking about the YMCA.
For our next question, I'll turn to our FFA student.
Great. Hello, my name is Grace Bustro. I'm a senior at the high school, and I am currently serving as the North Scott FFA's president. And my question to you, from many of our ag students, we brought this up. In 2022, the North Scott is slated for building the regional ag center. The center's purpose is to include neighboring schools in ag education. In the past, the board has committed $7 million to the Ag Center. Will you continue this commitment or seek an alternate plan?
John, you'll start us off?
I would love to. I have, as most people in the audience know, I've been a huge advocate for FFA. I've been a huge advocate for Scott County FFA. And we currently are in... Nick talks about a fast track. I don't know how I could make it any faster, because I want it here as fast as possible. We currently, as a board, have committed $7 million through the SAVE, and we are looking at a $14 million project that would be unique. It would be very unique in many, many ways. We have an architectural drawing on it, and we are pursuing a partner. The whole idea is to have a high school and first 2 years of college with this ag center. We have purchased the property for it up the road a little bit from the ARPS, and our goal is to educate, as Grace talked about, the amount of jobs that go unfilled is a very large number, and it's growing. And so any way we can bring ag to all of the communities in so many different ways, whether it be even banking or selling insurance or anything else, any way where we can tie that together, I think it's wonderful. And I am for this, the size that we've done. I'm part of going out to the communities and raising money for it and being part of it. So I am 100% on board, and we even had a fundraiser at Cinnamon Ridge to help in that process. So I'm definitely delighted to have that as part of our community.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, as John mentioned about the partnership, the size of it as it stands now, it's very important for us to get a partnership for that. My concerns would be to make sure that that our students first are the primary focus. Does that match the curriculum and size and needs of our students primary? And then the adult education is very important as well. I want to make sure that also that we can staff the building. So how we build it is different funds and how we staff it. So that's going to be very important too, that we have that plan worked out, that we can also offer all of the programming that we desire. I know there's a great desire to expand the program we have. We have a fabulous program. It's grown, as you all know, the last couple of years. But I would want to make sure that the plans that we have match that. And I think we've said that in previous meetings, where we need a partner, depending on the level of partnership, that will dictate how you know, how much of a building we can or can't have. And I hope that partnership comes through, because our students deserve that. The other concern I would have is balancing that with the other programs that are also expanding that need growth, including all across the CTE spectrum. So ag is a portion of CTE. You also have the trades and everything else. So how can we ensure that the upperclassmen of the district have that training for whether it's agriculture, whether it's CTE training, whether it's the sciences, engineering, whatever it is, how are our students best served?
So, from what I've seen so far, I mean, I think it sounds great. I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of really good benefits to it from what I've seen. I think it would probably be negligent for me to comment on what I think of this right now, because I just don't know. I haven't been in a position where I've been able to look at the school budget, when I've been able to see what the priority list is for the district. I really just don't know enough about this. And I think it sounds great, and it's the type of thing that I definitely see advantages for, and I am open to being convinced as time goes on. But I really just don't know enough about this, and I don't feel like it would be good for me to make a comment either way, because I've seen the strategic plan, I've seen the vision card, and I've looked at the huge document that is the budget, but I just don't feel like I have a good enough grasp to understand where on the priority list it would fall at this point.
Well, again, I'm in supportive of the Ag Center, and it could be very, it's very good in terms of what we can do in our district for making a regional center. We, again, are looking at some partnerships, but I think even back to the why, there's some things to understand. There are buckets of funding. It is not like we would take funding away. To Molly's point, there'd be two programming things to look at, the facility and the general fund of salaries and so forth, and teachers and such. So we have a significant amount of bonding capacity still, and we have really no general obligation debt. So we are looking, and it would be the same thing as the Y. We would have a very purposeful planning and financial looking at our whole process of how can this financially fit. And it will be done very concertedly. But the programming of the Ag Center is phenomenal. I mean, we are going to have the state-of-the-art, best practice, some of the most wonderful programs that we can provide. provide to the students when it comes to ag, but not just ag, a lot of other opportunities for the kiddos to benefit from. And I'm excited about that. But again, it does not go without knowing what we can financially afford, and that is what we will truly look into and have looked into. So a lot more to come, but it's a collaborative effort again, where we're looking at all the avenues of what needs to be done to build such a center. It'll be fundraising. There'll be a lot of understanding of what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. So,
Nick? Yeah, I'd like to say, yeah, behind that 100%. When we were on school board, this was talked about in 2013, 14, 15, 16. And at that same time, the lab was also being talked about. And I remember to get the lab done, we ended up scaling it back a little bit. And we built what we could afford. And so, John, to your point about how do you fast-track it, at a $14 million project, and granted, I'm not a farmer, and I'm not trying to step on toes, but you could do this in phases. You could do phase one now, break ground, let's get this thing rolling. And that would say, well, can we staff a $7 million building? Because like Molly's point and Joni's point, can we staff a $14 million building? I start saying, I'd like to hear that. I'd like to know that and see how that would work, sustained over 5 to 10 years, because this is going to be something that you can't go back on. I would also tell you that as far as FFA goes, it's our selling point. No other Davenport, Bettendorf PV, they don't have that to offer. So if you're shopping schools, you'd want to come here because we have that. And we have college and career pathways through that building. That's like our ticket to get through 2022 and 2023 when enrollment will drop off. So anyway, I'd say that as far as the FFA goes, consider putting it into two phases so that it can get started immediately. And the reason why that is because this is a project that's been talked about, like I said, back when I was on school board, 2013-14, and it's like, man, I'm going to have grandkids that'll use that building, not kids. I fully thought I'd have my kids in that building. But unfortunately, Glory's, who's a state winner, is not going to be able to enjoy that. And I know we only have so much money, guys, and I know we have expectations, but I guarantee you, that's something I'm completely behind and would do anything. When it comes to fundraising, John, I'm 100% behind you. I've been doing it, and I can help you guys with that and look forward to working with you.
Well, I just want to say that I'm as excited as anybody else here at the table. But as far as I'm concerned, from now on, we're going to have to talk we. We need the whole county and all the school districts to be involved, and many of them have expressed an interest to do that. We are blessed to live in what they consider the heartland of agriculture, and so it only makes common sense that we be the educators that continue to advance agriculture. And I think we've got a tremendous amount of people that can go to work on it. Just another example, the FFA and I went around maybe 3 years ago to see if there'd be some land that they could rent. And they found a farm to rent. And I have never been impressed. I've gotten a couple letters from the management team talking about some of the help I've given them on advising and doing some mowing of the road ditch and some other things. So it's amazing what, and that may seem trivial to you, but some of the things we're losing in the young people, and with having them be involved with some leadership on through the instructors and through the school, and through all the interested partners that are willing to come in and help us, I think it is nothing but a win-win opportunity for the county.
Good, thank you. For our next question, I want to turn to our FFA students with a question taken from government teacher Sean Marmion's survey. He had students survey the board members as well, and we're going to present a couple of those questions.
typically I go to North Scott for most of the ag program, and I go to Davenport West as well. And when I come, parking is a big issue, especially when I'm trying to get parking around the ag room. So how will you guys address the shortage of parking for teachers and students?
I get to start, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's a good question. Now that I have a freshman who parks out in the back 40 at 5:45 in the morning when she comes to lifting, I now see right the impact of that. But one of my on our buildings plan, we have that the softball field is going to move in a few years. Personally, I think that we need to reevaluate that and look at that a little bit differently. 26 years ago, I actually played on that field. I played softball, came down with Bobcats, and it was state-of-the-art then, and it hasn't been upgraded a lot since then. So, I think maybe we should look at that. That would free up some parking. Also, utilizing the facility that we just bought from a transportation standpoint, we'll get some of the transportation vehicles out where the current transportation buildings are, so that could free up some parking. I think there's options. If I'm talking about the softball field, we also need to look at, I don't want a bunch of concrete all over the place. So what are our options? Can we put some green space in there and make it look a little nicer than a big, parking lot? So I think we've got some options. We have to get creative and maybe look at how we can do some short-term solutions. And then, longer term, when we've got the regional facilities and things like that, it might free that up a little bit more. But understand the concerns.
This is where my honesty comes out. I have a kindergartner, Neil Armstrong. When I sent out this survey, I tried to figure it out, but I don't know what I'm not aware of the problem. And so it was something where I said I'm open to being convinced. I would like to hear what people think from the students, but I don't have enough information right now to comment, and you would probably be able to tell if I was making something up. So I'm open to being convinced, but I don't know enough about it.
Joni?
Yeah, as far as that goes, there's I'm not sure of the extent of the problem, but we are going to free up, and well, back up, we do need to have a design team to understand kind of a strategy, what is going on in high school for the parking, to really get a good sense of understanding of how, what kind of a problem it is or an issue. So we are going to have free up some areas with the transportation moving, and that might be many places, I'm not sure, but that's something that needs to, and no Shane, he's going to make sure that he has a very good committee in collaboration with the right folks to design that plan. Lighting, we need to make sure it's safe, so whatever ends up happening, we need to ensure that there's still lighting and good, safe crosswalks, to work with the city to make sure that's happening. So that's very critical and key. But there's a lot of looking into that a little bit more, too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Nick?
Yeah, so if you move the softball field, that inherently is going to add $1.5 million to the parking project. So I try to give you this little diagram. Here's Porter Insurance, and here's our digital sign. There's a lot of green space right here. The most economical way would be put a little drive, lose a couple of these spots, put a little drive, and then fill in some parking behind that digital sign. Now, I know what that does. That takes away green space. That takes away what I think traditionally is held as the way we want our school to look. And that green space, we'd have to find common ground. We'd have to, as a board, say, is enough with the parking? Do we value that green space? Because that green space could be converted as cheaply into parking as anything. And so if we're really serious about parking and you want to do it inexpensively, you could go to that area behind that digital sign. I hope I did a good enough job of trying to explain where you could go. But with my own kids parking next to Molly's daughter, I understand it's a concern. With daughters that are walking in the dark early in the morning, will we finally be convinced when there's an accident at a crosswalk? We had an accident at the crosswalk up there by the Ed White T. I mean, to what point as a board, do we come together and say, sacrifice the green space, or come together and say, spend the money to move the softball field? I would say first, let's go to where it's least expensive, if the consensus would be to move that.
Two solutions that I can see, and the first one is leave the green space where it's at by the sign, but maybe back by the storage shed for the stage play and other things. Back there, there's some green. Put it back there. The other thing is the bus garage that is down at Eldridge Corners is going to take all of the buses from this area, and by next summer sometime, you ought to see them all out there. All the storage that's in these buildings will be out there. The building may be used for another class of some sort, but there's a tremendous amount of parking that's in back there that would relieve the pressure somewhat. And other than that, we'll try to be creative. If there are places where you can get one or two spaces at certain, and a couple elementaries could maybe have a couple spaces more put in. So we're looking at the options. We take it seriously, but we don't have the solution right now.
John?
As Glenn mentioned, the buses are going to be moved over to the corner of Old 61 and LeClaire Road, and that's going to create the parking situation. And I am for, that's the cheapest we're going to have, because it's already asphalt and all we have to do is stripe it. And I want to first see what kind of parking that is, and I understand it's not right next to the FFA building or anything like that. That's a practice football field that probably will always be green, but it does move closer. As I understand it, when they put in the new intersection, it's going to be wide enough that there's going to have a light there for walking across. So keeping it well lit, keeping a light, it helps with the safety situation. On first blush, I'm not for putting anything up towards the digital sign, because I think that takes away from the aesthetics of what we tried to create in the old Stutz area when I was on the board when that was purchased, and we wanted to have some green space and say, the wow factor of North Scott. The digital sign and all of that is just makes that wonderful. I'm not excited about taking a softball field and making it into a parking lot. I think I'm for moving the softball field eventually someday, but I think there's vision down the road that could be something else rather than asphalt or concrete. And if we didn't have enough space with that, I think as maybe Glenn mentioned, northwest of the auditorium, where we purchased that property also when I was on the board, would have some additional space as well. But I'm fully agreement that there needs to be enough space for students, not for events, but for students.
Our next question is one we heard from several parks, probably the most on this one. What did you personally learn from the August 2018 gun incident in this building? Assess the district's response. What would you like to see going forward to bolster, improve, or maintain security here in the district?
Yeah, so I wasn't part of the school board when that incident happened, but just from a perspective as a teacher, from a perspective as a parent, it's terrifying. And you want to make sure, I think from a community standpoint, you want to know that the district is being honest, and you want to know that they're communicating effectively. And as a parent of a child that's in that situation, I think you want... you want that information to come quickly. I think the district has taken a step in the right direction with the communication changes that are taking place with the app, with getting more information out there more accessibly and more quickly. And I think, to me, that's probably the biggest starting step, easiest step that you can take, is make sure that if something horrible like that happens, then the information is accurately and quickly getting out to parents so they're aware of what's going on. Now, I understand security concerns. You don't want a ton of people coming there. But I think it's important that there's a trust between the school district and the community, and that they understand that when these things happen, that they're going to be made aware as quickly as possible and that safety is prioritized. From what the next step would be, I think mental health is probably something, it's definitely coming down from the state, but it's something that as North Scott we should get ahead of. I would heavily be in favor. I would write curriculum on it. I would love to teach this class as an elective at a middle school where you have a class where you're teaching kids coping skills. I think it offers a good opportunity to cover a lot of social factors. You can talk about mental health disorders. You could even add in things about how to deal with family members with Alzheimer's. There's so many opportunities to discuss things that neuroscience has caught up to and that education has not kept up with. And so I would really like to see a mental health class somewhere in the line, and I think empathy starts to develop at the middle school level.
Thank you, Brian. Jody, what did you learn from that incident, and how do you assess the district's response since then?
Well, first of all, obviously it was very unfortunate, and but you might not know all behind the scenes, but this school was phenomenal in what they did. And since we've had the See and Say campaign, and it should be everywhere, I mean, we brought it into the kiddos socially and emotionally what they can do. But the response of the school to the parents, all of the teachers and aides and everybody in this school did a phenomenal job. We had a student teacher that said after this event occurred that after this, she realized she wanted to be a teacher more than ever. And after this, she realized where she would love to be a teacher is at North Scott. And again, their response was impeccable. Mr. Holly did a fabulous job in helping organize and being the leader of it. But this teacher and the teacher in effect, what they did was unbelievable. It's state of the art. Now, moving forward, again, a campaign See and Say to the kiddos. We had EAP, an employee assistance program, and all the staff, whether they wanted to go or not, that was offered to those folks. Follow-up, and of course, mental health is near and dear to my heart as I have a private practice, and I truly believe in that, bringing that into the employee situation. I do a lot of stress debriefing. I get contacted a lot when incidents happen at schools or in industries or companies, and after the fact is the most important, one of the most important times, as well as how to help the staff and the kids overcome and deal with this. So we are not letting that, we have a safety committee, we had a safety committee, we still do, and on that committee is there's a lot of collaboration. How do we make it better? How do we enforce and ensure that safety is happening every day? And I would tell you today, fast forward a year or so after, it wasn't just that incident. People are every day ensuring that we are safe and that we are looking into certain things. There's even more to come on that, but the communication, the transparency to the community is very critical and very key, that we hear from the community and that we let them know what's going on in our schools every day as we move forward. Good question.
Your board members, you guys did a great job. Joey did a great job. Spot on. You'd expect that, and it happened, so kudos to that. I do think, though, if the questions asked, the answer would be, before that happened, were there social media filters being checked? And the reason why I ask that is because there's students that my children go to school with that would say, that's a time bomb. And they actually use that word. And I'm not sure why the See and Say isn't exactly working for my student, but I would say that there'd be an area right there that we could do more work with. And not that anybody's doing anything wrong, but that there would be a way to broaden that. I'd also say, like I mentioned in our introduction, that Scott McKissick from the Hampton School District, they employ at $15 an hour from the Retired Police Officers Association, a resource officer, for $15 an hour. And I would try to find common ground with school board members and say that is a position that we either hire for a few hours or full time. So Officer Schwartz, and I've seen this, where Officer Schwartz leaves the high school to come to the junior high, or then would go to or stay at the high school. And so then one building has coverage and the other building doesn't. And I'd say to introduce that, that would be something I think that we can easily afford. And why not? Because it's happened once. That's one too many times. And I would say that that CNSA thing I mentioned and what you were saying about mental health, of course, Brett, as well, that was well said.
Glenn? It so happened that we were out of town at that time. And in the morning, I left and went to a meeting. I came back just before noon. My wife told me what had happened at the high school. I said, that's impossible. That can't happen at North Scott. Well, it did. And from what everything I hear, everybody acted as fast as they could and did the right thing. But there is, nowadays, I think it's sad, but we're going to have to continue to look at that topic and stay on top of it. Become creative of trying to head it off. And I know the teachers and administrators are doing as much as they can in all the schools to make sure the kiddos understand the consequences of misguided action. I do know that parents are as responsible as anybody else in the community. And all I hope is that we can continue to have good working relationships with everybody in our community and try to get the point across that that it's just absolutely the wrong thing to do. There's much better ways of attaining whatever goals they're trying to get at. And if they need help in some other way, that we make darn sure that we can do that.
John?
Are we going to have a mental health question, or should I include it in this?
If you think that answer is appropriate here, please go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I was shocked. I was president of the board at the time, and I was shocked that it happened at North Scott, as everybody else in the community was. I think we've learned a tremendous amount. Obviously, communication has been one of the biggest things that we've learned along the way. The see it, say it, learning more about it, trying to do more about it. There's a lot of, through the safety committee, a lot of different devices that are happening, the Alice drills for the staff, and a lot of those efforts are being made to make it better. I, once again, as Joni said, I think the junior high did a fabulous job, and we have a lot to thank with all of them and their efforts. I do believe that the emotion and the whole mental health piece is coming down the line. This year, the state of Iowa funded $1.3 million towards the mental health piece in the schools, and the AEA is liaison that is part of that action. And then as of next July 1st, it's actually going to come to the county, which is funded by property tax at this time, and it's going to be that's going to be part of it. We have seen in the data walls that right now on the data wall we have both the writing and the reading and the math wall. And when we talk to the North Scott folks, they're talking about adding on to the data wall an emotional characteristic, or what's the mental health piece of that. I couldn't applaud them more for being part of that, developing that. In fact, I'm so excited that I'm wanting to have some of the legislators that I know really well be part of that understanding. So. North Scott can be a model with that and part of that. So I'm wanting to definitely be part of that. That's why I asked the question about mental health, because I certainly wanted to expand, and I would love to expand even further on that piece.
So what did we learn from it? The biggest thing is I think that no one is immune to this. Our small community is not even immune. How did the district respond to it? Sorry. My clock stopped. I was in a meeting leading a group of about 50 people on a three-day workshop when I got the text from my daughter. Wow. When I got the text from my daughter on the phone that they were in lockdown. She wasn't in the room, but that's part of what I had in trust in the people in the district. I had to trust they were taking care of things, that she was safe. I didn't communicate to her at all, tell her what was going on. I trusted that I felt confident that the teachers were doing what they needed to, and I felt like the communication was right on. Within 20 minutes, I had a message, you know, from the school district. I think that they did a phenomenal job. And that's where, when I mentioned before, earlier, that sometimes you stay away. I did that. I wanted to let them handle it. I knew she was taken care of. I think the response was amazing. The staff was amazing. You can prepare all you want, but you still have to do things in the moment. What do I want to see going forward? A lot of the staff has already done many things, like the Lancer Way, teaching people just how to treat each other. We have a P3 app that is to reporting things that you see and hear. We have ACEs training that the staff has gone through, everybody in the district, from bus drivers to food service to everybody. What that tells us is that, is there somebody that has experienced trauma in their life that may cause this to happen, in a way of identifying them going further. So we do have a safety plan, as everybody mentioned. How do we communicate that to you as parents in the community? And what do we need to keep doing is just those things. If you weren't at the GLOWtastic event, you probably heard it. And one of the comments at that event was, wow, if we would have this for kids that are transitioning, what amazing opportunity for everybody to meet each other and make the transition smoother. And really what that also alludes to is that that event was put on by a group of community members. And this is going to take everybody. This is our community. We will try to prevent this going forward, but we all have to work together but realize that no community is immune from this. Also going forward, we need to ensure that the staff and the students that were involved continue to get the help and support that they need. This was a very traumatic event for them. This is not going to be over tomorrow. This is not going to be over next week, next year, or 10 years from now. This will affect those kids for the rest of their lives and staff. And I think we have the amazing group of people here to help everybody get through it and hopefully not have to experience this again.
I do want to follow based on some of the questions we've gotten from here. I heard a lot of responses about communication, about mental health. What I didn't hear was about metal detectors and more armed. We heard about, Nick talked about part-time or retired deputy here, but we didn't hear about more police officers in the schools or arming teachers or anything like that. And I want to open it up to anyone who wants to add to any other security precautions in response to the audience question. Are there any hard security things that need to be done? And anybody, just start. I'm not sure everybody has an answer on this, but if there's anything you want to add about the hard security concerns.
Metal detectors at the, Joni, if you want to go.
I'll go ahead. You're next.
We're a school, and metal detectors probably aren't going to fly. You know what I'm saying? But I do think, though, that I had three kids in the building when it happened, like Miley was saying, and I said it earlier, CNSA is not working like it should be working. We need to get behind it. Talk to teachers. They'll tell you it's not working like it's supposed to be working. And as I mentioned earlier, $15 an hour for a retired police officer, we can afford it, and we should have it. And I don't know why we don't.
Any others on any hard security concerns?
Go ahead, Brad. I was just going to add, bringing in an officer doesn't necessarily have to have a persona of as a hard measure either. I think they do a good job of also creating relationships with the kids. There's normally a lot of things that happen between a liaison officer and the students, and it's really good for kids to get a firsthand communication with law enforcement anyway. I think that helps develop for later in life, and so that doesn't necessarily have to be one or the other. I think you can solve both with something like that.
Yeah, I am for. I think we need the latest and the greatest. I mean, again, I'm one of those practitioners that goes to the site to help stress debrief, so I know firsthand what that's like on that end of things as a clinician. But this was very traumatic for everybody, and I think that ALICE training is huge. You cannot have enough assimilation, so you prepare. An officer might be fine. I think we need to look into more of that kind of thing. The safety committee is a very strong committee, and they're very committed, and they care deeply. But there's other kinds of things that we can do, state-of-the-art things, to make sure we stay as safe as possible every day. And that's to help equip the teachers in understanding and the training and the students to know, how do I respond? How do I get almost desensitized and exposed to as real of an assimilation as possible, and to help them know how to handle these situations as best as they can.
Anyone else want to add to their security about fire security or something that search raised?
I'm not for metal detectors. I don't think they really do what we want them to do, and it also is a super awkward situation of, you know, everybody's in and everybody's out at basically the same time, and it really gets cumbersome, and I don't think it solves their problem. I think what everybody has talked about is communication, getting everybody on board. I would like to hear more about an officer here. I don't know if that's the answer, but I think everything needs to happen to make it happen, because the number one thing is every parent, when their kid goes to school, you want them to come back and be safe. And however we answer that question, it needs to be answered that way.
Just as an outsider, when I come into the school and see the way that you have to check in and they let you into the next section, to the next session, I think that's working nice. And I do not see a metal detector of any value here right now.
I think in general, where there's a will, there's a way, and so we have to catch it before something gets to that point. I think Officer Schwartz would tell you the P3 has and does save lives, and save lives. I think he would tell you that. It's really, I don't know what the answer is. If we knew the answer, we'd all have it figured out, and we wouldn't have any of these issues. But I think it starts with what prevention, whatever that means, communication, support of our kiddos, and support of the staff. I'd also defer to the staff. Do you see behavioral changes? How do you see it today versus, you know, what the environment was before? Has it changed? What more support can we give you?
Very good. I see we're quickly eclipsing our time, and I know we have one more FFA question, or one more student question, before we wrap things up. So I want to indulge you for a little bit longer than we planned and have the students follow up. This was another question of government teacher Sean Marmion's survey to students.
Hello, my name is Steve Moyer. I'm a senior at the high school. I personally, my freshman, sophomore, and junior year, I packed my schedule full, never had one study hall, so that my senior year I'd be able to go easy. That being said, at the high school, students with study hall at the end of the day had the opportunity to have an early release. However, this privilege has been canceled this past year. What are your thoughts on this?
This is just the ability of students to leave at sixth period rather than mandatory participation.
No, fifth period.
Or fifth period. Fifth period. For doing that. And I think we're starting to jump. No, next grade.
I mean, I'll go.
We'll stick it. Thanks for keeping me honest, Nick. How about that fifth period?
So if you're wanting to leave and you've packed your day that far, would you be interested in looking at picking a concurrent class worth college credit for free?
Do you want my opinion on this?
Well, because go ahead.
Okay, so I took college classes last year.
Yeah.
Almost my entire schedule this year is college classes, this semester and next semester. I have two study halls this semester, next semester and this semester, because I was wanting to leave early. One day I get to come late. I don't have a second period, so I come in at almost 10 o'clock. But the other day I was going to be able to leave at 1, but I'm no longer able to do that because we have to stay to be able to go to sixth period, even though I do not have a sixth period.
Okay. And have you visited with Mr. Wood about that, or Shane, or anybody?
It's talked that through? All school around policy.
Okay. So, but have you talked to them about it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's a great spot. When you have something in the school level that affects students or teachers, and if you hear a survey of that, not hearing why they're so against it, I'd encourage you to sign up for more college classes. I know you might want the time off, but why not? Let the school pay for it. I'd also have you find out, is there anything else that you might be able to volunteer for to build your resume for a college or a career pathway? And then find that way to work with the administration to kind of find something that works for you. Maybe it won't work for you exactly, but you do, as a board member, we really can't say, oh, let's change it. But I hope you can understand that. But good job with all the work to have all that time off.
What would you say to that student's question?
Well, probably not what they want to hear. I think that you go to school to go to school, and I think that time, and if it's boring or if it seems to you to be that you're wasting your time, find something that does make you a better person or better at the next school that you're going to. I think your parents worked hard to earn tax money that they're and the money they're spending on putting you through school. We need to have students that take full advantage of that.
I'm probably on Glenn and Nick's page of I appreciate you working hard, and I understand also there's limits of how many concurrent classes you can take before North Scott doesn't pay anymore. But I would encourage you to build your resume, as Nick pointed out, have a job or something like that. What were your desires to do if you got off at 1 o'clock? What would you do? So what's the difference between going home and doing homework and doing homework at school?
So at school, you're in a study hall with about 30 other kids, and it's a lot different of setting, if that makes any sense. There's a lot of different things going on during the study hall.
Sure, sure. And do you think all the other 30 that would be released would go home and do homework also?
No.
Probably not. So that's I'm in agreement with the school is intended for going to school, but I also know as a board, we probably let the administration do that, make those decisions, and be part of that. And I would be 100% behind whatever the administration decides in this case.
Thank you, Chair.
So I'm going to take the board hat off and do respond as a person. Maybe you like that a little bit better, even though most of you may or are not voting age yet. But anyway. I think, you know, it's probably difficult that the bar was there, you met the bar, and then the bar moved. You had expectations. When we make decisions, we don't always understand the consequences of decisions, right? So a lot of times you make a decision and you're impacting people where you didn't maybe mean to impact it, so you sometimes have to revisit that decision. If you earn the right, whatever that earning the right looks like, if there's criteria to be, you know, that needs to be met for you to be able to go, I think that may be a fair discussion to have, and I think this is just a case where if it was a blanket decision, maybe in the past we've just always made blanket decisions and that's the way it is for everybody, and you know, just as we do in my work, I make decisions that have unintended consequences, and if somebody comes and gives me a benefit, then I may change my mind or make up, you know, some differences. But realize that, you know, having special cases is also difficult for us to track, and special rules for the administration to track. But I wouldn't give up. I'd share your story. I'd try to maybe help, you know, as in life, help make the change, help be the change, and help maybe you're not going to benefit from it, but maybe next year they'll think about things differently.
And so just so I can make sure I'm talking about this correctly, you had completed the required amount, and you would like to leave early? Like, but you worked.
It was every student you had a student college or a sophomore or higher. You were able to leave the period or fourth period. You're in fourth period and fifth period. So. But sixth period is a required time if you get assigned for teacher's helping you. And a lot of students were coming back. And so they decided to take away that fifth and fourth period early release. So then the students would be there when it was time for sixth period. So then they would actually.
Okay. I'm all for trusting students, and I mean, generally in my class, if I feel like they've met requirements, I hate when students have to be held back by others who haven't met that. So I mean, if we're, again, this isn't a board thing, but if we're assuming that's not the problem here, looking at a different location for that period or finding another way to do it. I mean, I don't believe in staying at school just to stay at school. I don't know that there's necessarily value in that. If it was because you had already met all of the requirements, I mean, to me, I wouldn't see why not, barring safety problems.
Well, I think it's something, it's like a teachable moment. And with education, there's really so much that you can do, and it's structured. So I think you could make it a teachable moment. You could have a great opportunity, maybe helping other students. Maybe there's something you can do to make that worthwhile for you. Now, for someone else, they need that extra time, and they need the more structure to do that. And then, again, I have faith in you and other students talking to the administration, the counselors, to provide your case, the pros, the cons, kind of a necessity study. And you can learn from that experience even. So there's a lot of things to be learned in that before you go off to your trade, your college, whatever you're going to do with your career. And we would entrust that the administration, and we get reports on it to see how it's being utilized. And we will continue to get reports on that to see. We're not just going to offer that for no reason. It's going to have a purpose and a reason. But you come forward and be a leader in helping elicit that, all you guys there. You guys are good at this, and I think, again, it can be a teachable moment. There's a lot of learning lessons in that. So good luck.
Thank you, Jody. We're going to wrap it up here. We have more questions than we had time to ask. Thank you for all the questions. In many cases, you put them better than I would have in the first place. So I'm going to, my final question in all these boards is give us your best pitch, and I'm going to start with Glenn right now. But I'm going to ask it the way it was asked by this group. Why are you the best candidate to serve our families? Glenn, do you want to begin?
Well, I think I have some experience about Norscott and enjoy helping kids. I also want to say that one thing Norscott is, I'm proud of, is taking a hold of, and last year we went to a meeting in Des Moines and three mothers went along, parents, and we did some legislative work with them. And I think that's one thing that this community has had a lot of, and the school needs to get more involved. Some of the funding that we have and other things depends on the legislature. So I am looking forward to helping. It was such a success, and to get in with the governor and lieutenant governor with the parents and have a meeting. And I'm going to continue to try to do that.
John, what's your best pitch? How do we know you're the best candidate to serve families?
As I've said, I've served for 8 years, and I am an advocate for the kids and education and, to be college and career successful and keep us on the financial correct road. And I also am involved with the community in so many different ways. And like Glenn, we go up to Des Moines and we are part of that and getting legislators involved. So the supplemental state aid money that we get is lobbied for our group and lobbied for our school district. And know that through Glenn and my efforts, we've had Governor Reynolds several times be part of Norscott and know Norscott. And so create that, and then also make it a great community to attract families, keep families, grow families, and be part of the educational process in all so many ways, and I don't have enough time in my minute to talk about them all. But I am very grateful to be on the board for 8 years, and I look forward to another four, and I appreciate every one of you supporting me, communicating with me, and being part of a great North Scott.
I discussed my background in the beginning. So also in addition to that, my father is a retired public school teacher of 36 years, so I got to grow up in that type of family. My husband's a union electrician and business manager, and I work for a public company, John Deere. I feel like all those experiences and backgrounds have given me a broad understanding of all of the groups that are required for collaboration to make a school district great. I ask questions and I challenge current thinking, if you know me. I work with others to come up with creative solutions. I have a history of collaboration, leadership, advocacy, and fairness. I serve with integrity and will stand up to anyone to advocate for a cause that are important to our students and staff. And I will do it with conviction. And I will also diverge from the majority when I believe that it's in the best interest of our mission here at the school district. Communication is one of my passions. The forums came about from my suggestion. The communication plan was very important for me to suggest, so we hired a company to implement that, who's an expert in K through 12 communication plans. And the app was an absolute must. I helped a lot with developing that, and I think that's going to spearhead us, enable our parents, students, and community members to get information, as well as prospective students and families coming into the district. So of all of that, if you think I'm the best to represent you, then I'm glad to be the candidate to serve you.
Thank you. Brett?
So I believe that I bring something that a lot of school board members don't, and that is that I've been in the classroom very recently, last year, and it's something that drives my entire being. Whether I'm a school board member or not, I'm a nerd when it comes to education. My Reddit is mental health, alternative education. I read articles constantly about new and creative ways to be able to set up your classroom and take care of behaviors. These are things that are very much a part of me, have dominated my life for the last decade, and will continue to. And I think I can be a voice for teachers and for people within the district who maybe don't always get their voices articulated correctly to the board. There's presentations, there's many opportunities where that communication can happen, but it doesn't always get translated as effectively as it can. And so I'm someone who brings a voice from that perspective. I've been in the trenches. I know what it's like to be a teacher, an employee of the district, and I think I recognize a lot of the challenges that are there. And so I believe that gives me, as one voting member of the board, the ability to ask the questions that might need to be asked, or to step up for the positions that need to be stepped up for, or if I need to turn the charm on and convince some people, maybe be the deciding factor in a position getting accepted or denied by the district.
I'll conclude tonight with mine, and that is I'm a farm girl. First and foremost, I'm a farm girl. And why I bring that up is I know nothing but work ethic and hard work. And I was raised on a farm in central Iowa with four other sisters. You know, we would beat up any guy that came and tried to help bale straw or hay that could do any better than us. And we were all truly such workers, and to this point we're workaholics. And with that, why I'm saying that is to this day, when I go and I have 3 and 4 jobs, and I know my home life, my family, our workers at the farm are like, can you keep traveling? Because I elicit all kinds of energy there. So I could be at Aeromexico Airlines in Mexico City, or Lafarge in Montreal working with C-suite folks, but I cannot wait to come back to North Scott. And when people find out I'm a farmer, they're like, no way, you're not a farmer. Yes, I am, and I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of this community. Because when I come back to this community, I see all of you, and I see how strong and how hardworking, how caring we are. And that's why I want to be on the board for so many more years. Because I love what I do. I'm one of those change agents that if, whether it's the Y, the Ag Center, or whatever, or the safety program, I don't know. It's going to be us that helps decide and helps look at recommendations to make our community stronger and better. And that's the skill set I truly bring with you is the fact that I know how to look at vision. I know how to help change culture to make it a very positive culture. That's what I do every day. And we have that here. And you can always get great work and great passion through others. And that's what it takes, how we work together to get that done. And I'm the conduit to help do that. So I appreciate you coming out tonight. And I would really appreciate being able to serve on the board for a few more years and help with that skill set. So thank you very much.
Thanks for coming tonight, everybody. I'll try to be brief since I'm the last speaker at the last question. Brett, I believe everything you're saying, and to the current board members, you've served well. But if this is my chance to make my pitch, I'll tell you, I'm independent, and I'm passionate, and I love North Scott. I formed Lancer Legacy to bring resources to this school district because we don't have enough. I'm an independent thinker. There's challenges that our school has that we need to address. Retaking quizzes, is that preparing our kids for their careers and retaking tests? Is that really real life? Not giving points for homework for your final grade? Is that really how real life works? I want to have those discussions. I want to lift those questions back and forth. And like I said about CNSA, I have children in the district. It's not working like it should be working. I'm looking forward to working with anyone that's on the board, or if I'm not on the board, to why that's not working. You've heard some of my ideas. When come November 5th, if you just get out to vote, you know, whatever you put down is going to be a good vote. I guarantee it. I'm very impressed with tonight's forum, and thank you for coming.
Thank you, candidates. Oh, well, we'll get to after we dismiss. We'll stick around for a group picture. Thank you very much for coming out.
And we wanted to thank Mark for helping us organize and facilitate.